Today I'm powered by the love of God and a lot of coffee. So, you know, I don't consider it a small privilege to be addressing you guys and to open up the word of God to you all. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that I'm trusted to do this job and to do this, to handle the word of God rightly. And so I want to bring all that I'm sharing today as a submission. It's not a, you know, command. It's not an instruction, but I just want to bring it as a submission that you yourself would be able to go through the scriptures and find that you, that God is revealing the same thing, because it's the same God who reveals things to me as he reveals things to you. So I just hope that this would come as a blessing to you. And, you know, the Bible is a rich theological treatise. It's the most eloquent piece of literature. It is the inspired word of God. It is a spiritual book that changes lives. It has certainly changed mine. But primarily, it is a true story of a loving God who was separated from those he created. And then he set into motion a plan for the redemption of all mankind. And we see this grand plan of redemption knit into every single fiber of this book. And so today, when we look at the story of Joseph, we'll be trying to identify and see the same God advancing his purposes of redemption. I've entitled this message, Forgotten by Man, Favored by God, the story of Joseph from the prison to the palace. So let's pray and start off today's message with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for what you have done. We are grateful that you are the ultimate redemption plan of the Father. And Father, we come to you and ask you to simply open up our minds, because we are searching after the mysteries that are hidden in you, Lord. We are so grateful for all that you do. And we come with open hearts and open hands to receive from you what you have for us today. Use me as a vessel to communicate clearly and efficiently what you have to say today. And I pray that you will anoint my words and you will anoint my thoughts to communicate this effectively. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that, Nawaz. Now, this is the story that, you know, has been taught all over the world, and it has, you know, there's countless sermons on it. There are so many books that are written based on this passage. So it's a very well-known passage. So I don't want to go ahead and read every verse of the passage. So let's just do a summary. We pick up the story when Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and unjustly punished and put in prison. But even in prison, we see that God is with him and continues to show him favor. He rises in the ranks and he's made in charge of the whole prison. And then he listens to the dreams of two prisoners. We see how Joseph is so attuned to the needs of the one and the two. Yeah, the cupbearer and the baker, they share their dreams with him, the dreams that they had, which they knew identified as spiritual dreams. They share these dreams and Joseph interprets correctly. And he asks, because he knew that the cupbearer was going to go into the palace, he asked for a favor. Yeah, he said, can you just put in a good word for me in the palace? But the cupbearer forgets. Okay, we think that that is probably the end of it. You know, Joseph will probably rot in that prison for the rest of his life. But God gives Pharaoh a dream and Joseph is called in to interpret it. Then Joseph not only interprets the dream correctly, but he gives wisdom on what to do with it as well. So he finds favor in Pharaoh's eyes as well, and he's put in charge of the whole kingdom of Egypt. But we see a bigger purpose of God in this, in that in these years of famine, if not for Joseph in that position, the nation of Israel would have been completely wiped out because of the famine, because it was so intense. So this is the overall picture. This is the true rags to riches stories, right? He was literally, his coat was torn to rags and he was sold to slavery. But then we see that he's now the ruler of the entire kingdom of Egypt, which was considered one of the most powerful kingdoms at the time. So in this story, I want to examine the entire passage from Genesis 39:20 to Genesis 41. I want to examine this passage in under three distinct points. Firstly, you want to look at the favor of God. Secondly, the dreams of God. And thirdly, the promotion of God. So let's talk about the favor of God. In Genesis 39:21 to 23, we see It says that, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one to do it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. And again, we see a similar thing in Genesis 41, where he says from 38 to 40. This is Genesis 41, 38 to 40, where Pharaoh says this time, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh says to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command." I want to bring to your notice that Joseph at this stage was 30 years old when he had actually reached the palace. And I think about it, I'm going to be 30 years old in 2 years. And that is a lot for a person to have gone through in such a short span of time. But you see that the favor of God flows from the fellowship with God. We cannot circumvent it. Wherever you see that the Lord was with Joseph and he showed him steadfast love. And then you see that he gave him favor. Right? And the keeper of the prison also paid no attention to anything that is under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And if the Pharaoh notices it as well, that in whom is the Spirit of God? So communion with God, fellowship with God is foundational for us to have favor with God. Yeah, and we have gone through this in our John 15 study. Nawaz unpacked the whole John 15 and this whole idea of us receiving favor from God, and that our fruitfulness comes out of our abiding in him. So fellowship with God is extremely important. It is the same favor that God gave to Abraham. But remember that the favor that flows from fellowship cannot just stop with us, or we become a dead well or a dead lake. Yeah, the favor of God that flows from our fellowship with God has to flow out of us in the form of blessing. The favor that God gave Abraham, the blessing to be a blessing, right? That is the favor that we have on our lives. Favor has to overflow in the form of blessing to others. Hudson Taylor says it like this: "The less I spend on myself and the more I gave to others, the fuller of happiness and blessing did my soul become." Did you know that the evidence of God's blessing on your life is how you bless others? This may not be monetary, okay? But do people entrust you with things without having to check up on you over and over again, or without having to check on what you're doing? The keeper of the prison basically gave Joseph the charge of everything that was under his command, and anything that Joseph was involved in, he did not feel like he needed to check it at all. That was dependence. That was Joseph's faithfulness. Okay, he was faithful with the favor that he had received from God. Do you make light the burdens of those who are around you? Are people glad and happy? Think about you in your workplace or in the church or in your college or whichever setting, in your families. Do people benefit from you? Are people blessed by your presence? You know, when I first started working at my college, one of the prayers that I would make almost every day is that God give me favor in the eyes of my director. Now, she's a very difficult person to please. So it was a high ask, you know, it was a big ask because she's very difficult to please. But as I kept being faithful with whatever was given to me, and it started with very small projects and very small things that I was included at, but she has trusted me more and more. And today she doesn't even look at the paper that I have worked on, and she simply signs on it. She gives her stamp of approval on things because she knows I have worked on it. Now, this is not to toot my own horn or anything, but that is how favor works. You know that God's favor is on your life because you are a blessing to others. Yeah. So we want to examine that part of our lives. How do I know? Just because my circumstances are bad, Joseph is in a prison. His circumstances could not be farther away from the dreams that God has for him. But even in that situation, we see that God is with him and he is favoring him. And the evidence of that is in how he was extending that favor and blessing the ones around him. The next thing I want to go into is the dreams of God. Let's read from Genesis 46 to 8. when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. Now, this is talking about the cupbearer and the baker. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in the master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" Now think about it. To notice that somebody's face is downcast today, you must have noticed their faces every day. It's not something that we just come up with one day and show compassion and care for somebody. It has to become our nature. Yeah. So it was Joseph's nature that he took note of the individual people that he was serving. He didn't just, you know, put systems in place and forget about the faces. He kept the faces in his mind, and he looked at the faces of people every day. And that is how he knew that, how come your faces are downcast today? And then they opened up to him, and they were vulnerable with him. And they said, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." And we see a similar thing happening again in Genesis 41, 15 to 16, where Pharaoh says to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered to Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Now, both of them knew, the cupbearer, the baker, and Pharaoh knew that it was a spiritual dream, but they did not know how to receive that dream because they did not know how to interpret it. Now, remember that this is not a dream in the sense of hopes and dreams. A lot of times I've heard this passage be used by preachers where they say, you know, if you have a dream, you go for it, God will exalt you and all of that. But this is not talking about our dreams. It's important for us to realize that God will fulfill his promises, and we cannot hold him accountable to the expectations we have of our own life. We need to realize, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, it says, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." God has dreams, and he reveals those dreams and his purposes and plans to us. And one of the ways that he does it is through our dreams, when we actually go to bed and we dream. Yeah. So you'll notice that even in the life of Joseph earlier, that Joseph did not ask for the dreams that he received from God. Yes, he was immature in the way that he dealt with them, but he was not power hungry and seeking out significance. He simply had a dream, and he received the interpretation of that dream, but he handled it immaturely in the way he told people around him. Now, just as a side note here, Joseph shared his dream with his brothers and his father, and it says in Genesis 37:11, "And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind." That is the primary difference between a father and a brother. A father will keep it in mind, even though he did rebuke him for going around telling everybody that, you know, "I'm going to be ruling over, you know, all my brothers and you and mom as well." And, you know, it sounds like an arrogant statement. But Joseph was simply sharing what he has received from God, but he was sharing it with everybody. So be careful when you have prophetic words spoken over your life, when you have, you know, dreams from God, you have interpretation of those dreams from God, and you have these big promises over your life, be careful who you share it with if you want to avoid a whole lot of hurt and, you know, heartache and all of that. You know, when I have any prophetic word or a dream that is revealed to me, I go to Nawaz most of the time because I consider her my spiritual mother. And so people who are in that position, who are mothers and fathers and not brothers and sisters, in the sense that they're not competing with you for prominence or for significance, right? So people who are mothers and fathers in your life will actually nurture that. A father will bear it in mind, because parents have the duty to raise a child in the way that they must go. And when God speaks a prophetic word over your life, then that tells your mothers and the mothers and fathers in your life that this is where you must go, and they will nurture you and guide you in that direction, in that way. Yeah. So that's just as a side note here. But with respect to this whole subject on dreams, dreams are like tongues, in that without an interpretation, you don't really know what to think of them. In 1 Corinthians 14, 13 and 14, it says, "Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." And then Paul goes on to say it more strongly in verse 28, that if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Yeah, so it is important what we do with our dreams. And look at the way that Joseph actually deals and handles now the dreams, his own dreams as well as the dreams of others. He treats the interpretation of dreams with reverence, and we see the same thing happening in the life of Daniel as well. And really, Joseph and Daniel were the two prominent Old Testament people who had this gift of interpretation of dreams. Yeah, Daniel says in Daniel 2:27, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." He recognized and revered the insights that were given by God. Now, also understand that dreams are not a final say on the matter. Just because we receive a dream doesn't mean, you know, that's exactly what is going to happen. We need an interpretation of the dream, and the interpretation also comes from God, and we need to realize that. Yeah, and also dreams are an invitation to commune with God so that he may reveal these mysteries to us. And it is the dream of God's heart that he's asking us to search out. The Bible says that it is the glory of God to hide matters, to conceal matters, but it is the glory of kings to search it out. So the next time you have a dream, what will you do? I mostly write it down in a journal, or I just forget about it. Or even worse, I Google the spiritual meaning of it. Yeah, how many of you have done that? Yeah. But can I just encourage you and say, Google is not a spiritual tool, prayer is. Yeah, Google is not a spiritual tool. You get answers from all over the web. Anybody can be inputting that details. So if you have a dream, ask God, pray that you may have an interpretation. Just as it says for tongues, pray that you may have an interpretation. Yeah, so use prayer as the spiritual tool that will help you in revealing this mystery. So pray that you may have interpretation of dreams and search out the matter that is the mysteries of God. Yeah. And finally, I want to touch upon the promotion of God. Now, this is one thing that I want to stress upon as we go ahead. Abhishek is Google Baba. Yeah. So after Joseph has done such a generous thing for the cupbearer, he interpreted the dream favorably for him, and that is what exactly happens. You would think that the cupbearer will remember what Joseph has done, right? He forgot. How many of you have just forgotten important things? I am the first one to say, I will tell you, I have forgotten birthdays of my closest friends. I have forgotten flight timings. I missed flights because I forgot the timings. This was different from the time when I had the flight timing wrong, but I have forgotten flight timings or train timings, etc. I have forgotten some very important things in my life. But how many of you would say that those big things that you forget, that it was something that did not personally affect you? For me, a lot of times when I forget somebody's birthday or somebody's anniversary and things like that, it doesn't affect me. Or if a friend asks me for a favor to do something for them and or to bring something over to their place or something like that, I forgot a lot of times. And it is our nature to forget because we have a limited and a selfish mind, the mind that is focused on, you know, our needs and what we need to fulfill our desires, etc. It becomes limited. Okay, so we do tend to be forgetful. And that is why Jesus commands us in 1 Corinthians 11:25. He says, this cup, this is what Luke discussed as well. So as he was sharing it, I was just thinking about this verse that was already in my notes here, saying that this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. Another translation says, as many times or every time you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Why do we have a physical reminder of something spiritual that God has done that has changed our lives? Because we tend to forget. It is our nature. So the cupbearer forgot all about the prison once he went to the palace until, of course, there is trouble in the palace, right? So we see in Genesis 41:9-13. Then the chief cupbearer says to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, and he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew boy, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And he interpreted to us, so it came about. So, and then he goes on to say, you know, I was restored to my office and the baker was hanged and all of that stuff. But remember that man's forgetfulness does not determine your destiny. Remember that promotion comes from the Lord. Now, favor is different from promotion in that Joseph had favor in the prison and everything under it. But for somebody to move from the prison to the palace, you need promotion. Yeah, you can maintain favor through faithfulness. So, of course, when you have favor in the eyes of your employees or employers, or you have favor in the eyes of your leaders, etc., it is important that we are faithful with that favor. We are faithful with whatever is given to us, because as we are faithful with the little, more will be given, right? We will be entrusted with more. But this is a massive jump from the prison to the palace, right? It is a massive jump, and that only comes from the Lord. Now, I've heard it said many times that your gift makes place for you before kings. Have you heard that? You know, that your gift prepares a space for you in front of princes and in front of kings, etc. But can I just say that it is the Lord who gives sleepless nights to kings and dreams that trouble them, so that your gifts are needed by them in the first place. We see this even in Esther 6:1. On that night, the king could not sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And this led to Mordecai being not killed, and the entire, you know, there was going to be a genocide in the land, and God intervened. God woke up the king. God gave dreams to kings. The same thing happened with King Nebuchadnezzar, wherein Daniel was required to stand before the king and interpret the dream. It is God. Do not be fooled. God is the one who gives promotion. We cannot get it from our gift. Yeah, if your gift was sufficient to promote you, then the most powerful people in the world will be the most gifted. But we see that it's not the case. You know, all promotion, every single step, all promotion comes from the Lord, and it matters how you handle it. This is the kingdom principle. Matthew 23:11-12. It says, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Joseph came in the posture of a servant. First, he served Potiphar, and so Potiphar felt that he could make Joseph in charge of the entire household. And then he serves the keeper of the prison. And so the keeper of the prison notices that God is with him, and he puts him in charge of the entire prison. And then he came to serve Pharaoh. We cannot, and I can't stress this enough, we cannot come before people arrogantly because they need our gift. It is because of God and the place that God makes for us that people have a need of our gift in the first place. So remember that God is the one who makes space for our gift. And of course, it's important for us to steward our gift well and all of that. But do not think that your gift in itself will make a space for you. It is God who makes a space for you, and he is the one who exalts us in due time. So if you're looking for promotion, what do you do? Like, practically, how do we pursue a promotion with God? Yeah. If you're looking for a promotion, this is what you do. Serve the vision of the leaders above you, and serve them with humility, and they will take note that God is with you. Now, you may have a different point of view, and Joseph definitely had a different, unique perspective on how to resolve this issue with the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. He brought his own wisdom, but see that he used it to serve the vision of the king. He used that wisdom and the insight that he received from God to bring increase to Pharaoh's kingdom. He did not try to create a separate kingdom of his own. God honors humility with exaltation. The same thing happened in the life of Jesus. In Philippians 2, we see that Jesus, in humility, became a servant, and he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And from verse 9, this is Philippians 2, 9 onwards, it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name of, that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When God exalts you, it is the right timing. It is for your good and it is for his glory. So let's look at how this life of Joseph is a foreshadow of Jesus, who was the ultimate redemptive plan of God. Yeah. So let's look at some of the similarities. Jesus came down from the Father's house, just like Joseph, in the form of a lowly servant. He came to serve. Yeah. He was distinguished because God was with him. In Matthew 7:29, we see that the crowds were astonished at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of law. So people noticed that there is something special and distinct about Jesus that the other teachers did not have. The same thing was noticed by the keeper of the prison. The same thing was noticed by Potiphar. The same thing was noticed by Pharaoh. They noticed that God was with them, and that is the source of that authority. That is where authority comes from. Yeah. Both of them were favored by God and by man. We see already that in the earlier passage that we read, that Joseph had favor from God, and then he enjoyed the favor of the keeper of the prison. He enjoyed the favor of Pharaoh, right? And we see in Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Both Joseph and Jesus increased in favor with both God and man. Then both of them were falsely accused and unjustly punished. He was then sent to the lowest places only to be raised again. Acts 2:24 says, but God raised him from the dead. Remember, it is God who raises. That if there is one takeaway, remember that it is God who raises. God is the one who raised Joseph from the prison to the palace. God is the one who rose Jesus. The Spirit of God, in fact, says that rose Jesus from the dead. Yeah. So, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then, just as Joseph had made a way for Israel to be redeemed from the effects of famine and death, Jesus became a way for salvation from sin for all those who believe. It was God's redemptive plan that Joseph had to be placed in the palace so that he could make a way for the Israelites to sustain these years of famine. Yeah. And in the same way, we receive Jesus because he is the way. He is the way for salvation from our sin, for all of those who believe in him. And just as Joseph was raised up into glory, Jesus was raised up into glory. And I want to read a couple of passages here and see if you can identify the similarities in the two. Yeah. In Genesis 41, 42 and 43, it says, then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot, and they called out before him, bow the knee. We already see how Jesus, how God raised up Jesus so every knee should bow before him, right? So the same thing happened with Joseph here, saying they called out before him, saying, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. That is the entire kingdom that Pharaoh had access over, Pharaoh had influence over. So in this passage, the signet ring represents the authority of Pharaoh. That means he carried the same authority as Pharaoh did with regard to all the matters in the whole land of Egypt. Yeah, and the garments represented his purity, and the gold represents his royalty. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphenath-Paneah. Now there is a lot of uncertainty about what this term actually means, because it was an Egyptian name that was given to Joseph. But theologians say that it either translates into the one to whom mysteries are revealed, or the living one. Okay, so the paneha part of it is actually means life, and so this could most likely mean the living one. Okay, so let's look at Jesus now. In Revelation 1, 12 to 18, it says, "And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest." And it goes on to describe this glorified form of Jesus. The hair on his head was as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of rushing waters. In his hand he held seven stars, and coming out from his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And then it goes on to say that he says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus is the ultimate redemption plan of the Father that the Father dreamed up. It was dreamed up in the heart of God before the foundations of the world, so that in him we might have perfect union with God again. And so through the entire story of Joseph, from the prison to the palace, we see that the plans of God were not thwarted. Nothing in this whole world can thwart the plans of God, because the plan of God, is the heart of the Father, which is the redemption of the world back to its original design. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your redemptive work on the cross. Thank you that your redemption is written all over Scripture. Thank you for giving us eyes to recognize who you are, where you are. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in revealing the mysteries of your heart. We thank you for that access. I pray and I extend your blessing and your favor over each one who is listening. And I release dreams, God dreams, revelation of mysteries and the interpretation of dreams over all of us. And I release promotion that comes from none other but you. And more than anything, I release the redemptive work of Christ to be at work in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.